Welcome to Oikast. I hear green.
The podcast presented by Oikos Vienna. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Oikast. Today I'm with Markus for another installment of our thesis talk. He's here today and will talk about his bachelor thesis with us. Welcome, Markus.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So Markus, tell us, what did you write about?
I wrote my bachelor thesis about the effects of the climate crisis on the intra-household bargaining power of African women.
Sounds very interesting. Maybe you can explain that for someone who's never really dealt with that topic before.
I try my best. So basically, the concept of bargaining power is especially in institutional economics research field. And it deals with the distribution of power in a household. So especially in heterosexual households, like with the wife and the husband, and the bargaining power of women is how much participation rights, let's phrase it like that, a woman has in the decisions in a household. So like what the car do you have, or like major financial decisions, or maybe a major decisions how to spend money, phrase it like that. Yeah.
All right. And how did you come about thinking that this is somehow related to climate change?
I read a paper about how women, especially in countries of the global south, are more endangered by the climate crisis than men. And I wanted to get to know more about it, because normally you won't really make a connection between those two if you're not into the field. But at least I didn't really have an idea of how impactful the climate crisis is, especially for women. And I found it pretty interesting, and that's why I wanted to make this connection.
So you kind of tried to make a connection between like climate crisis and the gender aspect of it. So how
exactly,
did you
yeah.
come about thinking that there was this gender aspect, so that it concerns women more than men?
In general, I'm very interested in inequalities, whether it be between like different ethnics or different socioeconomic backgrounds, different genders. And then I read a paper during a course in university where they mentioned the aspects of like being a woman in an endangered country, in a climate crisis endangered country. And I thought, oh, that's maybe a good topic for my bachelor thesis.
So, and can you explain to us then how does it affect women differently than men?
In a very, very many issues upon that. So first of all, economically, especially in Africa, women tend to work in agriculture, agricultural field. Like I read a statistic, like 70% of all women in Africa work in agriculture, whether in unpaid or paid labor. Yeah. So the effects of climate crisis, the droughts or like heavy rains affect, of course, the the agricultural revenues, which are mainly created by women, and thus they lose money, they lose their like their income, their own income, and they're then more dependent, especially in patriotic environments, to the males. And other aspects include also that many unpaid labors, like also in Europe, for example, are more done by women most of the time, like the collection of water, which is in Europe, of course, you go to the sink, you have your water, especially in Austria. But in Africa, the case is much more different, because you have to go to a water source, and this can be kilometers away, and you have to go there, you have to pick that up. And that's mainly the responsibility of a woman in Africa. And of course, that's unpaid labor. And due to the climate crisis, there is a drought, so there's no water source anymore, because it's just dried out, and they have to go further distances to acquire water and to bring it back. And that takes a lot of time, which is unpaid labor, which they have to substitute for paid labor, for example. So there are many aspects and yeah, many more.
Very interesting then. So how did you go about in your research method-wise? What did you do in your thesis?
First of all, my first chapter basically is different approaches to bargaining power aspects. Mm-hmm. So like there is, of course, one, the neoclassical model is like a household is a consumption unit, which is completely without preferences. So there is no distinction between male and females. So they see the household as a black box. Which is in reality, of course, not the case, mm-hmm. because there is an unequal distribution of power, especially in African countries, which is maybe the quintessence of my thesis. And then there are different experiments, for example, where you distribute money to female-headed households, to male-headed households, and you compare the different outcomes. Yeah, then I researched more about the climate crisis in general, which was really eye-opening, especially in Africa. Climate crisis is already happening everywhere. It's really not in the media, not very much, but like the flood in Germany this summer with 180 deaths, like as bad as it is in Africa, that happens on a daily basis, more or less, especially in cyclone seasons, which is not very, much news about it in the media, in the Western media. And yeah, then I just combined those two and tried to make a connection.
It's really crazy that there's not so much talk about it. It's always kind of treated as something very far away that starts to affect us now, but
yeah,
it's already a reality.
It is, of course, for the life, for the general life, the general social and health aspects, but also economically, it's so much more impactful on Africa than it is in Europe, because like in Africa, 15% of all the GDP is through agriculture, whereas in Austria, for example, it's only 1%. So it's 15 times more relevant. And the agricultural sector is probably the most hit by climate crisis, the most severely hit field. And that's why especially countries which rely upon agriculture will suffer a lot the consequences of climate crisis.
Did you come across, I was just wondering, any proposed solutions on how to deal with that? Like, is it just solve climate crisis in general, or what do women do?
Yeah, on a general basis, there are local aspects and global aspects. So the local aspects would be to find as many technological advancements, which is of course difficult because they have to be provided by richer countries. Like there are like drought resistant crops, for example, mm-hmm. which have to be implemented in a more useful way so that they do not suffer when it rains heavily or when there's a drought, so they're more flexible. So there's a technological advancement. But the main responsibility, of course, lies in the global north, because we, the countries of the global north, are the main polluters. And so the only solution would be to reduce the amount of CO2 emissions into the atmosphere. So the main responsibility still lies upon the global north, the countries of the global north. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like, like we both obviously agree that you need to solve the big problem. But then it's a good point. I think you're raising that the global north should also help in mitigating what's already there, what's already happening, the effects that there already are. So would you say, is there something like, apart from accepting our responsibility in this whole thing, something we as like an Austrian country can learn from that, from what you found? Because you made in the beginning the statement that it was specifically in the global south, because that's where women rely more, like are more responsible for agriculture. They rely generally more on agriculture. Is there something like a learning for us directly?
The main outcome of my bachelor thesis was that to include these aspects, like feminist aspects, like the especially unequalness between men and women, out of climate crisis, that it even strengthens that, or like strengthens, even worsens the inequality there is between women and men. And I feel like the climate crisis doesn't really affect this that much in European countries because we don't have the same structures as the African countries. So there is a difference. But in general, maybe it was really eye-opening for me to see these connections between the inequality of genders and this topic. So maybe it would be beneficial to include gender aspects or other inequality aspects in every analysis there is, especially in economics, because inequality is the biggest issue, especially also considering COVID, considering this worsening of this. So to include gender aspects into every decision-making process there is, I think also Austria and other countries would be wise to implement that. Also my bachelor thesis just pointed out that also the children are impacted by the outcomes of bargaining power. So lower bargaining power also affects the health and the possibilities for the children. And this is for sure also true in countries of the global north.
So is this then bargaining power, when you talk about this, only relate to the women in the context of their own family, or do you also mean like in general?
My bachelor thesis focuses on the intra-household bargaining power, but there are also aspects on a whole institutional level. So wherever social norms are very strict, the rights for women are very low, they of course are, decision-making processes are very unequally distributed. And so it would be also wise to implement it on a whole institutional level so that there can be an empowerment of women, which is also beneficial, as my bachelor thesis has shown, for many different aspects of life. But also for the children and for the whole society.
Yeah, I agree that it's definitely a good example of how the lens of this gender perspective really helps you to understand it even better, what's going on. Just to conclude on like the content of your bachelor thesis, maybe was there anything that surprised you?
Yeah, it surprised me how it was really an eye-opening experience, because I didn't know that the climate crisis hit Africa already this hard. And there are many models of outcomes in the future, and the worst, the business as usual way. There are different paths, like the RCPs, there's all different paths. Maybe you know about that. And the business as usual path would include that Africa by 2100 has a growth in temperature of 6 degrees Celsius, which would be crazy, because then the sea level is rising, the crops will die out, people have to be displaced all among the continent and across the continent, across the sea. So there is a lot of displacement actually happening, and it was really like, oh my God, we have to do something right now to help those people and to not shift our responsibility away. And also how, especially if it affects women and it affects their life, their economic life, their social life, and how there is so much, inequality also relating to the climate crisis, to factors contributing to the climate crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, like not only on the individual level, but also on this global level, that they're unequally affected, even though we as the North contribute or have contributed way more.
One also interesting aspect I found in my thesis is that one of the writers, she phrased the role of women in climate change or in climate crisis as virtue and vulnerability. So the virtue means that the women of the global North tend to be far more conscious about environmental habits than men do, like the flight, the meat consumption, the choice of their transport modeling is way more healthy for the environment than the one of males. But on the other hand, the vulnerability aspect is that women of the global South are much more affected by the mainly male emitters of the global North. So it's also in this sense, very unequally distributed.
Yeah, and just, that was kind of my thought, just many, many good reasons why women should be included more in the process of actually designing solutions, because they're more affected by it often, and because they're more connected to it in a sense, right? They're more know more about it.
Good that you mentioned, because that's also an essential point that I made in my thesis, that women are, of course, also in Africa, not included in the decision-making process, even though they actually know how to appropriately work in the field of agriculture. They know how to use natural resources. They are far more skilled in many different aspects than men, and only social norms restrict them from being in the positions of power, which would be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah. Some very powerful messages. Thanks, Marcus, and also so much to learn from that. But what we also want our listeners to kind of learn or know more about with this podcast is how to actually go about writing a thesis. So I think your example really, really amazingly shows how interesting the approach of really looking at something that has an impact in relation to sustainability can make writing it way more exciting and more relevant, I'd say, as well. But maybe you can kind of talk a bit more or tell us a bit more about the process behind or throughout writing your thesis. So you said you read a paper about it, and that's kind of what got you introduced to the topic. What were the next steps?
Yeah, so I was in this course in institutional economics in my bachelor's, and I really liked the professor, Katharina Mother, so shout out to her as well. She was really a big reason for my success in the writing process. And I wanted, actually, I was more asking her as to be my supervisor. So that's why I asked her, hey, is there any connection to be made? Is there any possibility? And she's like, yeah, that sounds very interesting between environmental issues and feminist issues or institutional problems. She's like, yeah, maybe you'll find something, come to me again. With a short overview. And I thought about that. I did the research about how the climate crisis affects women. Then I read this paper of Gerald Doss about bargaining power in the countries of the global south. And I was like, maybe I can connect them. I took a bit of a risk, to be honest, because I didn't know that there's quantitative data. And I just thought, hey, I will try it. And then she said, yeah, let's do it. Perfect. That was the beginning, basically.
Some very good intuition there. So did it require a lot of research until you kind of got down to the topic, or?
It required, to be honest, a lot of research, and I also changed not the overall theme. The overall theme stayed the same, but I changed the chapters. I changed the order of the chapters. Mm-hmm. I changed the subchapters. So. One point I can make is to make a structure beforehand, but not to overfix on it, because you can always change it. You can always make it kind of better. So what I did first, I researched a lot of papers, just brainstorming. It was a mess, actually. My bachelor thesis also, it was like different points, different words, different sources. But in the end, it turned out fine. Once you have your structure, once you have your sources, the writing process is, in my opinion, the easiest part, because you're into the theme and it will just this is just going by itself at some point, in my opinion. But you have to do the research and you have to have a structure, of course.
Yeah, it's kind of the foundation, right? And once you know how to structure everything, you know enough about it, you just have to type it down.
Yes.
All right. So what I hear here is that the research in the beginning is very important. I totally agree in that. Definitely. Are there any other recommendations you would give to someone who wants to, is just starting to look for a topic maybe, or planning on writing their thesis soon?
Yeah. What my main issue was that I wanted to make it scientific. So you know what I mean? Is that it's difficult to connect those two fields. There are no direct impacts, of course. So you have a climate crisis, which affects your arable land, which is there. And because of that, it affects the bargaining power. So it's not a direct correlation, but you have other sources like different education, using the education or other measures. And I tried to find some numbers as well, not only like statements, but some numbers. And I feel like it's very important to rely upon different approaches, like the sociological mm-hmm. approach, but also some, maybe some quantitative approaches to back up your arguments, to back up your argumentation. And that was a challenge for me. But my main proposal is don't really, I don't know, give up hope, because there's so many sources, even for, because everybody asked me, how did you even find sources? And countries of the global south, they make so many good papers, they have so many good writers, which are not really well known, so many good papers you find in the right sources. So just go to Google Scholar and dig through it, and you will find definitely yeah. something, and something related at least. So yeah.
I really like the recommendation to stick with it, because it might take a yeah. while. It might be a bit tedious to go for everything, but yeah. I guess once you found the right thing, you can go always from there.
And I think at some point you get a feeling what is maybe a good source, what is not a good source, how to find information in your source. So maybe you can go through the conclusion beforehand. And if you find an interesting aspect in the conclusion, then you go to the relevant chapter in the paper. And I felt like that was my way to go, because I always read through the conclusion. I was like, okay, hey, they find something similar to mm-hmm. my research. How did they do it? How did they come to this conclusion? And I feel like this is the way which helped me a lot during my process.
All right. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I feel like it was a really good decision to have her as my supervisor. And I think that this is really, really important. I think the decision of a supervisor, which is helpful and is always there and gives you good tips, this is maybe one essential aspect, because especially if you have your bachelor thesis, you're not that experienced in scientific writing. Mm-hmm. At least I wasn't that, at least not in this amount of pages yeah. or this amount of research. And she helped me a lot through it. She gave me feedback for every chapter, for example. And I knew her beforehand. I knew her style. I knew how she taught, how she corrects. So that's, if you find a professor that you like, that's maybe he or she, you find her to be a competent and a good helpful supervisor, then just text her or like write her an email, even though you're not really in the process. So just to reserve a spot, kind of, which I did. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very, very important aspect. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing. I think that's a very valuable recommendation. Also, that kind of makes sense to look at all the professors you've already interacted with.
Yeah.
To be a bit sure that it's a good fit. Amazing. So are you happy you wrote something in connection to sustainability in the end?
I'm very happy. I'm not lying. At some point I was like, I can't read it anymore. I can't go through these papers anymore. But it was worth it, because actually before doing this podcast, I read it again after months mm-hmm. of laying in the dust. And I really enjoyed reading it. I really enjoyed it again. And it was so interesting again to see this fulfilled paper in the end after several months, and it really motivated me again. And that's maybe after you're done with your bachelor thesis and there is a finished work, you can really be proud of yourself. And I feel like this is a really cool feeling.
And I guess it helps yeah. if it's something as relevant and as kind of yes, as relevant yeah. as sustainability, and you're really passionate about it.
Yeah, you have to be passionate. For me, it was very important that I was passionate about that hot topic, because at some point you yeah. get to a dead end, or maybe you're not really motivated. But if you put the right effort, and if you're passionate about your topic, you enjoy the research. You're like, oh my God, this paper is so interesting. Oh, hey, that's a new approach. I feel like that helped me a lot, because I learned a lot through my bachelor thesis. Yeah, it was really an eye-opening and learnful experience for me. Yeah.
That's so nice. I think that's a perfect ending on a really positive and very inspiring note. Thanks, Marcus, so much for sharing all your experiences, but also everything you learned throughout writing your thesis with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And also I want to mention that Oikos was a reason why I became interested in sustainability. So it's also tidy part thanks to Oikos as I decided to go to this field. Thank
Even
you.
Even more amazing, sir. Thanks to you. Another good reason to join Oikos and in the end, yes, not also read your thesis in this field. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We are Oikos Vienna, students for sustainable economics and management education.
Be informed, get involved, and make a difference.